our own Jaws-like experience 50 years later. My daughter Kelsey and I had our own Jaws-like experience recently, some 50 years after the filming of the iconic blockbuster movie. Each year during the last 2 weeks of June, my kids and grandchildren join me on Chappaquiddick Island on Martha's Vineyard, where as a child I spent my summers growing up. This summer was no exception. My family gets to the vineyard using different means. Some take flights from New York City or Boston and arrive at the Martha's Vineyard Airport. Some drive their cars into the car ferries that serve the island from Woods Hole, Massachusetts. And some take passenger-only ferries from locations in Rhode Island. This year, for the first time, Kelsey and I decided to get to the vineyard by taking our 21-foot Boston Whaler from its moorage along the Hudson River in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Rather than trailering the boat, we decided to motor on the waters that lie between the Hudson River and Martha's Vineyard. We did this because we wanted to have the experience, but also to test run the 2003 boat, which we recently had purchased. The decision to take the boat on the water was not made without being aware of the challenges that this presented. For example, we would be traversing 200 miles of open water. The boat at maximum speed goes 25 knots, so the best case would be an 8-hour trip on the high seas, assuming no stops and a complete flat, calm sea. Not a short or small effort, not at all. In addition, there could be significant weather and sea issues, such as tidal flows, currents, wind direction, rain, etc. On top of that, there are the navigational challenges of taking a water route that we have not taken before. One of the most significant navigational challenges we ran into was the danger associated with rocks near shorelines, which did not appear on navigational charts or on the Garmin chart plotter on the boat. The trip requires us to traverse several very different bodies of water. We started on the huge freshwater Hudson River, followed by the Harlem River and the East River, passing Rikers Island in the process. This stretch leads us into saltwater Long Island Sound. Long Island Sound is 110 miles long, 21 miles wide at its widest point, covering 1,300 square miles, and has 600 miles of coastline. Because of some significant winds coming from the south, we chose to hug the shore of Long Island rather than the Connecticut shore in order to try to be in the lee of the wind as long as possible. We were hoping that the landmass of Long Island, the largest island in the continental United States, would somewhat shield us from the strong winds. By following Long Island's northern shoreline, we eventually made it to the tip of Long Island, the Manhasset and Montauk areas. At that point, we had to make a choice on which route to take. One possible route was to cross back across Long Island Sound to the southern New England coast of Rhode Island. This would allow us to hug the coastline of New England, but we'd be getting the brunt of the impact of the wind. The other choice we had was we could attempt to go directly across the Atlantic Ocean to Block Island, 30 miles of open ocean. We would be out of sight of land for much of the trip. We would be subject to whatever wind and sea conditions that we would run into. Don't ask me why, but we decided to go across the ocean straight to Block Island. This appeared to be a much more direct route to Martha's Vineyard, but we would be traversing open ocean in a flat-bottom, 21-foot, open cockpit Boston Whaler. A Boston Whaler is a wonderful boat, but it is not good in high seas since it does not have a deep V hull. It also does not have any kind of a cabin or any other protection from the elements. You are totally exposed. Block Island is 30 miles from the tip of Long Island. It took us 3 hours to make the crossing. We averaged 10 miles an hour. It was a rough ride, not fun, The seas were very choppy since there were 16 knot winds. But the good news is that we made it to Block Island safely and in one piece. We stopped there to refuel, take a break, and get a bite to eat. Once at Block Island, we had no choice but to head to Martha's Vineyard, across open ocean again, 30 more miles to reach the vineyard. For 10 miles of the trip, we would not be able to see land. The wind and the seas were unrelenting. Another rough ride. Another 3 hours on the high seas. Yet something happened in the middle of our 3 hours that shocked us. All of a sudden, we saw large dorsal fins in the water near our boat. We saw quite a few. They quickly seemed to be approaching the boat. They began to circle the boat. My daughter got very animated and yelled out, "Dad, they're sharks. Holy shit." She added, "Dad, don't get too close. They are huge. They could attack the boat. Have you ever seen Jaws?" my daughter added. There appeared to be four or five of them, and they kept circling. It was somewhat forbidding. I was not worried about the sharks attacking or jumping up onto the boat or anything like that. No, I was more interested in exactly what we were seeing. Were they sharks? If so, what kind? Or were they whales? Or were they dolphins? I was not sure. The sharks eventually moved on, but I can tell you that they sure got our attention. Our hearts were definitely beating a little faster than before. Our eyes were wide open. We felt we had just been through an unusual experience. "Wow," we were saying to ourselves. As if this experience was not enough, the same thing happened two more times during our voyage across the Atlantic Ocean from Block Island to Martha's Vineyard. Needless to say, the rest of the boat trip was a blur. All we could think about was what we had just experienced. We had to find out what we saw. Were they sharks or whales or dolphins? If so, what kind were they? Kelsey had taken wonderful videos of what we saw. So for the next several days, everywhere we went on Martha's Vineyard, and with everyone we saw, we showed them the video and asked them if they knew what we saw. Finally, I saw a notice that there was a talk being given at the local high school one night by Dr. Greg Skomal, a globally known shark expert. I went to the talk and afterwards approached Dr. Skomal and asked him if he had any insight into what we had seen. I showed him our video. He said immediately, without any hesitancy, that they were sharks, no question about it, and that they were basking sharks. He told me that they were the second largest fish in the world, surpassed only by whale sharks. They can grow up to 40 feet in length. Despite their large size and threatening appearance, basking sharks are not aggressive and are harmless to humans. Despite their abnormal size, basking sharks are filter feeders. They swim with their mouths wide open, filtering plankton, small fish, and invertebrates from the water. Their mouths are enormous, a cavernous jaw up to 3 feet in width. They are slow-moving sharks feeding at about 2 miles per hour and do not evade approaching boats, unlike great white sharks. While large and slow, the basking shark can breach, jump entirely out of the water. Basking sharks are highly migratory. They are known to travel long distances, moving to different areas based on the availability of plankton. They can be found in temperate waters around the world. Basking sharks have a long lifespan, living up to 50 years or more. The basking shark has been a commercially important fish as a source of food, shark fin, animal feed, and shark liver oil. Several countries in the world have protected the species as a result of declining numbers. Basking sharks are ovoviviparous. Ovoviviparous sharks are sharks that reproduce by hatching eggs inside their wombs and giving birth to live young. The word ovoviviparous is a new one for me. It comes from the Greek words ovum, which means egg, vivus, which means alive, and pare, which means bring forth or bear. my 4 years of classical Greek in high school come in handy every once in a great while. Little is known about reproduction of basking sharks. They are thought to give birth to live young, and females may have a long gestation period, possibly up to 3 years. Bottom line, both Kelsey and I learned a lot about basking sharks. So interesting and so fascinating. But more significantly, we both had our own hair-raising, eye-opening Jaws experience some 50 years after its filming in the waters around Martha's Vineyard.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Like the podcast? Please help us grow our listenership. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.